In Mark chapter 6, go ahead and open up your Bibles. I want to begin reading in verse 14. It says in Mark 6:14, "And King Herod heard of it, for his name had become well known, and people were saying, 'John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and that is why these miraculous powers are at work in him.' But others were saying, 'He is Elijah.' And others were saying, 'He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old.' But when Herod heard of it, he kept saying, 'John, whom I beheaded, has risen.' For Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death and could not do so, for Herod was afraid of John, knowing that he had a righteous and that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed, but he used to enjoy listening to him. A strategic day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his lords and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you.' And he swore to her, 'Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom.' And she went out and said to her mother, 'What shall I ask for?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' Immediately she came in a hurry to the king and asked, saying, 'I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter.' And although the king was very sorry, yet because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back his head. And he went and had him beheaded in the prison and brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and laid it in a tomb." Lloyd J. Ogilvie, in his book, Life Without Limits, tells the story of a pastor who spent, in a space of a week, heard the following comments from the various parishioners in his church. First of all, a woman said, "I'm under tremendous pressure from my son these days." She said, "I can't seem to do anything to satisfy him. No matter how hard I work, I just can't seem to meet his expectations." A young man said, "My parents have goals for me to take over the family business. It's not what I want to do, but I feel a tremendous amount of pressure to do so." A third person, a college girl, said, "I'm being pressured by my boyfriend to live with him before we're married. You know, sort of try it out. I don't really want to because I know it's not right, but I feel pressure that I'll lose him if I don't." A husband said, "My wife is never satisfied. Whatever I do or whatever I don't do, it's never right or it's never enough. Life with her is like living in a pressure cooker with the lid strapped down tight, turned on high." A middle-aged wife said, "My husband thinks my faith is silly. When I feel resistance to Christ, I wonder sometimes if I'm wrong. As a result, I've developed two lives, one with my husband and the other with my Christian friends." And finally, a young pastor came to him and said at a conference, "I hardly know who I am anymore. There are so many points of view in my congregation, I can't seem to please them all. Everyone wants to capture me for his camp so that to change the shape of the church in their convictions. And the pressure makes me want to leave the ministry." Pressure. Pressure's become a very big part of people's lives. We live in a pressure-packed society, they say. You know, pressure to perform, pressure in school, pressure on the field, pressure to meet others' expectations, pressures to meet my own expectations, pressure to be all that God intends. You know, some people live under constant pressure. How do we handle the pressures of life? How do you handle the pressures of your life? Herod you see in this, didn't do a very good job of handling pressure. History tells us, if you go back and you study the history books, that Herod was a selfish man. Herod was an arrogant man. Herod was an immoral man. He was a political opportunist. But, you know, one thing Herod, like we are, one thing Herod didn't like was having his sins pointed out in public. Herod was in a very, he was in an illegal marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias. And a fellow by the name of John the Baptist. You know, John was like the early prophet. If John felt something, he preached it. He didn't back down. Well, John told Herod, listen, you're wrong. It's illegal. It's immoral. It's wrong to marry your brother's wife. And he pointed it out publicly. And John had some respect for Herod. Or Herod had some respect for John because he knew he was a holy man. He knew there was something about this guy that was different. Herodias didn't care. All she wanted was John shut up. So they took, you know, Herod was in between a rock and a hard place. He didn't know how to handle the situation. He had to try to keep Herodias happy. He had to try to make John be quiet. So what he did was he stuck him into prison. He stuck him in prison rather than have him killed. Well, what we find out is he was in between a rock and a hard place. Herodias wanted John killed, but couldn't have him killed without Herod's permission. So one day, the opportunity, it says a strategic moment arose. And the daughter of Herodias did a dance. All the brass came for a birthday party for Herod. All the palisades, all the military brass, they were there having a good time. Likely Herod had been drinking, probably was drunk. Then Herodias' daughter came in and performed what was probably some lewd dance. Herod was so moved by the dance. You know, this must have been some kind of dance. Because Herod said, I will anything you want up to half my kingdom. Man, I'm saying I ain't ever seen a dance that looked anything like that. I mean, can you imagine? You know, today we have the whip and the nene. How many of you know what a whip and a nene is? Not many of you know what the whip or the nene is. I thought about having Jessica come demonstrate it, but we're not going to do that, right? Anyway, whatever she did, the whip of her day or the nene of her day, and Herod was so swung by it. Anything you want. So what does she want? She goes to her mom and says, hey, I can have anything I want up to half the kingdom. What should I ask for? Let me tell you, Herodias was mad. She had a grudge. She was a bitter woman. Because instead of wanting any materialistic thing, she wanted John's head on a platter. And there ain't no telling what she had said to Herod about John the Baptist. But that's what she told her daughter to ask for. And that sealed John's fate because in verse 26 we see, although he was very sorry because of the pressure of his oaths and the pressure of having said in front of his guests that she could have anything she wanted up to half the kingdom, he was unwilling to refuse her. Verse 18, consider that one for a moment. John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That phrase, the way it's put in Scripture, it means it's been repeated action. Over and over again, John had told him, listen, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. But he did. And then the time came to pay the piper. The time came when he either now had to back down from his oath, from the pressure he felt there, to do the right thing. And guess what? He wouldn't back off. He would rather do the wrong thing than to do the right thing because of the pressure of the embarrassment of doing the wrong thing. You know, within every person, there's the opportunity as we face the pressures of life to do the right thing, to handle temptation successfully. Because, you know, the way it's often the pressures that we face come down to temptation. Am I going to please God or am I going to please someone else or myself? 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us there is no temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man, and God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. In other words, listen, if you're seeking to do the right thing, God will give you the opportunity to do the right thing. Herod was in a situation where he could have done the right thing, but he didn't. This morning, we're going to talk about pressures. When we face pressures, sometimes those pressures seem very real, very intense. But the first thing we need to be reminded of is when we face pressure, do not give in. Don't give in. Herod had the pressure of being popular. He ruled the region of Galilee for the Roman authorities. So not only did he have to keep the Roman authorities happy, he had to keep the people happy, because if the people became upset with him, they complained to the Romans, and if the Romans got enough complaints, they took his position. He got a new job. You know what? That's a pressure that a lot of people feel. Our young people feel pressure like that. The pressure to be popular. Everyone wants to be liked. Everyone wants to be popular. You know, boys want to be popular with the girls. Girls want to be popular with the boys. How else could you explain spending an hour in front of a mirror to try to get all decorated up right? Right? If you've got teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. Younger siblings often feel the pressure to measure up. You know, how many of you ever watched the Brady Bunch? That goes back a few years. All you who didn't know how to whip a nay-nay, you're familiar with the Brady Bunch, right? The Brady Bunch, remember, the oldest daughter was named Marcia, and the middle daughter was named Jan, right? Well, one day Jan was getting ready to go to high school, but Jan was nervous about going to high school because Marcia was so popular, so well-liked. How could she ever walk in the footsteps of her sister? You know, she felt like she couldn't measure up. There's nothing wrong with being popular. Sometimes popularity, it casts a wide net for the kingdom. But when it becomes wrong, it's when we try to do unethical things or immoral things to be someone other than who God created us to be. Because that's all God asked us to be is who he created us to be. Well, Herod gives us a negative example with a positive lesson. Look, Herod had the opportunity to back off, but he wouldn't do it. Sometimes, you know, we have to be reminded, don't do something God would not want you to do because it's not worth it. No matter if we made promises we shouldn't make. You know, we need to seek popular with the one who is most important to be popular with, and that's Jesus. Herod gave in to the pressure to conform. He gave in to his wife's wishes to do away with John, even though he knew it was wrong. He knew John was a holy man. He knew John was a righteous man. He was intrigued by John, but Herodias said, I want him dead. You know, he caved in to the pressure. Sometimes we have to recognize that pressures, if it pulls us away from God, we got to be willing to say no to it. Herod also faced another pressure here. He had the opportunity to accept John and Jesus' religion. He was interested in it. He was fascinated by it. But he didn't. You know, the pressure in our nation is a lot greater than it once was when it comes to Christianity. There's a lot of what's the types of Christianity out there. If we were to poll churches all across our nation today and ask this one simple question, what does it mean to be a Christian? You would get lots of different answers. Some people say, oh, it means being a good person. Some people say, oh, it means trying to live right. Some people say it means going to church. What does it mean to be a Christian? Let me tell you very simply what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian means I am a Christ follower. I am a Christ follower. That is the only way to become a Christian, is to become a Christ follower. But nowadays, it seems like in many of our churches, we are afraid to ask people for commitment. Let me tell you one thing. Jesus was never afraid to ask people for commitment. That's the first thing he did. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. First, you got to follow. And then he said, if you want to follow me, he said, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus wasn't afraid to ask people to commit. You know, there's a pressure. There's a pressure to accept beliefs that are false these days. And a lot of churches are falling into that. A lot of people who claim to be Christians are falling in that. The pressure to compromise, the pressure to give in. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain, go back and study some history, years ago with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive action to ensure the success of the military endeavor. He called all of his troops to go to the cliffs of Dover and to look down into the channels. And to their amazement, as they did, the ships that they had used to cross into England were all now on fire. He burned them so that there would be no possibility. Caesar deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. The only thing left was to advance and conquer, which they did. You know, don't give in to pressure. Don't give in to conform to society's view of what a Christian is. Instead, take out the Word of God and say, this is what Christ expects of me. Pressure to conform brought Herod down in the eyes of God. Not only do we not give in, we don't give up. Because let me tell you something about pressure. Pressure doesn't go away. You know, there's pressure in elementary school, and then there's pressure in intermediate school, and then there's pressure in middle school, and then there's pressure in high school, then there's pressure in college, then there's pressure in life at the job. It doesn't end. It just morphs into different kind of things. And then there's pressure at home. You know, this certainly wasn't the last time that Herod faced pressure. As a matter of fact, as you progress, you continue to face it. I remember as a kid, the biggest pressure that I faced, I can think back, and I mean, I was the youngest kid, I was the smallest kid in my class. And usually it wasn't close. I tell people in ninth grade I was 5'3 and weighed 100 pounds. And I'm not exaggerating. I was 5'3 and weighed 100 pounds. Let me tell you, when you're 5'3 and 100 pounds in ninth grade, the girls think you're a runt. So they laugh at you when you think they're cute. And the boys like to pick on you until you have to fight back. You know, it's a struggle. It's hard to keep up in sports because you're the smallest kid. It seemed like a big deal then. Now I look back and I laugh. It was no big deal. Many times the problems behind us seem small because we are now engulfed in a pressure or a problem that seems much bigger. As you get older, your health issues start to hit you. What do we do? If you don't give in and you don't give up, what do we do to handle pressure? We look up. We look up. Our faith helps us distinguish between right and wrong. Our faith keeps us and helps us determine the course of our actions. Abraham Lincoln once used a very clever ploy to teach his closest advisors about truth. They had come to him with a decision based on something they thought was true, but wasn't. After hearing their logic, Lincoln asked them, "How many legs would a sheep have if you called his tail a leg?" And the advisors quickly, "Well, they'd have five." And Lincoln looked at them and said, "No, they would only have four legs. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it one." You know, you can call sin okay, but it doesn't make it right. People can say it's all right to live together without being married. People can say men can marry men and women can marry women. People can say it's okay to commit adultery. People can say it's okay to kill the unborn. People can say that church is not important. But just because they say it doesn't make it right. God's word says different. When you become a voice of truth, you will face ridicule for standing up to pressure. That's exactly what happened to John. John dealt with the pressure of life by looking up. He could have looked the other way. Herod was important. He is the guy who runs the show. Hey, the rules don't apply to him, do they? Like they apply to everybody else. John said they did because God says they do. John dealt with the pressure by looking up because he was driven by a higher set of values. What drives you today? When you face the pressures of your life, who do you conform to? You allow Christ to reign in your attitudes and your actions and your thoughts and your life, or do you cave into the pressure of temptation? Do you take shortcuts, or do you say, listen, this is the right way to go, and this is what we're going to do because it's right? Luciano Pavarotti said, when I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. As a matter of fact, he hired a professional tenor by the name of Arrigo Pella in my hometown of Modena, Italy. And he took me in as a pupil. For years, he taught me. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. Upon graduation, I asked my dad, should I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father, replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one, he said. Took 7 years of study and frustration before I finally sang for the first time professionally. Took 7 more years before I finally was able to reach the Metropolitan Opera. Now, he said, I think and I tell people, whether it's laying bricks, whether it's writing books, whatever it is, commitment is the key. Choose one chair. That's exactly what John did. He chose to be driven by one voice. He chose to follow Christ, even when it would have been easier to go the other direction. It would have been easier to back away. It would have been easier not to take a stand. Those who follow Christ, follow Christ. They choose. They commit. You know what? When you face the pressures of life, John teaches us not to give up, not to give in, but to look up and stay strong and persevere. If you do those things, no matter what pressure you're under, you'll come out all right. Let me tell you something. John the Baptist is all right today. It cost him to be committed. It would have cost him more to not be committed. What are you committed to today? As you face the pressures of your life, what are you committed to? Jesus called people to be committed, and he never backed off of that. Pray with me. Lord, as we come to this time of commitment, Lord, I pray that you might speak to us. I know there's folks here that are under pressure. There always is. Life is full of pressure-packed situations. Family struggles, work struggles, school struggles, relationships. Lord, in everything, you have a plan and a purpose, a desire. I pray, Lord, that when the pressure mounts around us, that we would choose your chair. We would choose to follow you. No matter what. No matter how hard. Because, Lord, we know there's a right way, and it's yours. If there's anyone here today who needs to make a commitment, who needs to trust you as their Lord and Savior, who needs to choose the chair following you, I pray during this invitation you'd give them the courage to step out, come forward and do that. For others that may need to join this church, for those that may need to just pray about a situation in their life that they feel pressured up in, maybe they need to give it over to you and just trust you. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray during these moments, as you speak to us, we would respond and follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.